Happy Thursday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our macro minute for Thursday, March 5th, 2026. Hope everyone's having a great week. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's lead-off morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, what matters more, uptrending productivity growth or escalating war? Our answer, as detailed yesterday, positioning dynamics signal upside surprise risk and inflation will likely have a bigger impact upon asset markets than upside surprise risk in growth. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis, starting with growth. The latest jobless claims and non-farm productivity data supported our grid model projections of accelerating growth. Initial and continuing jobless claims currently signal a low probability of a developing recession in the U.S. economy. The 42 macro business cycle model currently signals a low probability of a developing recession in the U.S. economy as well. Reminder, internet technology diffusion helped transform the U.S. from a 1.5 to 2% trend productivity economy to a 3% trend productivity economy. FYI, the current productivity growth cycle upturn is demonstrably outpacing the 1990s to 2000 cycle, which was one of the best in history. A structural uptrend in productivity growth will be extremely positive for corporate profits and the stock market. Productivity growth is a leading indicator for S&P 500 earnings, too. Productivity is actually the key that unlocks corporate profitability, according to the 42 macro corporate profitability model. Elsewhere, in the Eurozone, January retail sales data did not support our outlook for moderating growth. In the UK, February auto sales data supported our outlook for firming growth. Transition to the inflation cycle, uptrending energy costs tied to escalating conflict in the Middle East catalyzed a sharp repricing across global sovereign debt curves, with Brent crude oil stabilizing near $84 a barrel. The sell-off in rates propelled the two-year nominal treasury yield toward its largest four-day surge since May, as investors reassess the inflation outlook. U.S. dollar money markets materially reduce anticipated policy easing, with overnight index swaps now implying a roughly 45 basis points of Fed cuts by year end versus greater than 60 basis points last week. Elsewhere, the latest unit labor cost data did not support our grid model projections of slowing inflation. A structural uptrend in productivity growth would represent a durable headwind for inflation, however. If AI diffusion plus jobless recovery equals productivity up and wages down, then inflation is unlikely to durably misbehave absent a prolonged energy price shock. Elsewhere, the Bank of England's February CPI data did not support our outlook for slowing inflation. Transitioning to the monetary policy cycle, in support of our jobless recovery thesis, Morgan Stanley disclosed plans to reduce its global headcount by approximately 3%, concentrating layoffs across investment banking, trading, and wealth management, as well as asset management. Recall that each industry was recently targeted in the AI disruption trade. The workforce reductions will impact front and back office employees and reflect a combination of individual performance evaluations alongside, quote, strategic shifts in business priorities and geographic operating footprints. In our view, this is corporate mumbo jumbo for, we don't need your services anymore because of AI. All told, the restructuring equates to nearly 2,500 job cuts despite the firm reporting record net income while increasing CEO Ted Pick's compensation by 32% last year. Reminder, alongside globalization, the diffusion of internet technology, which is far less productivity enhancing than AI, in our view, contributed to a jobless recovery in the early 2000s. The true promise of AI isn't mere efficiency. AI is an effective tool to cut what is still most companies' biggest cost, which is labor. Indeed, the dramatic underperformance of employment growth relative to the growth rates of the civilian labor force, NIPA corporate profits, NIPA retained earnings, and equipment investment supports our jobless recovery thesis. The divergence between the multi-year performance of initial jobless claims and continuing jobless claims supports our jobless recovery thesis as well. A jobless recovery represents right tail risk for stocks if above trend non-farm productivity growth and below trend unit labor cost inflation can be sustained. Elsewhere, the Fed's latest beige book was incrementally hawkish from a policy signaling standpoint, despite a greater share of U.S. GDP reporting declining economic activity. U.S. dollar money markets are walking back 2026 Fed rate cut expectations, now at roughly 2 from a year-to-date peak of around 3. U.S. dollar money markets are still pricing the Fed's current policy setting as restrictive and roughly 50 basis points away from neutral. So before we transition to fiscal policy, which there was nothing actionable in the fiscal policy cycle, nothing actionable in the liquidity cycle, and nothing actionable in the positioning cycle, just on this point, last point with regards to the Fed's restrictive policy setting, phenomenal conversation with our friends John Farrow, Lisa Abramowitz, and Emery Hodern over at Bloomberg Surveillance yesterday with Fed Governor Steve Moran. I highly recommend everyone take the, I think it was like 15 minutes of your day to listen to that conversation. Steve Moran very cogently explained a lot of what we've been trying to signal with regards to the Fed's tardy reaction function to the unwind, to the slowdown in the labor market. I think I agree with him from an investor standpoint, because I'm an investor, he's a policymaker. As an investor, you know, we have to skate to where the puck is going in terms of trying to anticipate and ultimately, position for evolving financial market risk. As a policymaker, he needs to be a little bit more backward looking in his assessment of, what's happening in the economy, because obviously the downside risk, is greater from an aggregate utility standpoint. So he has this view that, it's a little bit too early to tell to see whether or not AI is actually having a negative impact on the labor market. We disagree with that particular point of his commentary. We think it already is having a negative impact on the labor market across a variety of metrics, whether you look at the sharp reduction in private sector job openings, the dramatic underperformance of employment growth relative to key leading indicators of employment growth, as well as the obvious structural uptrend and outperformance of the unemployment rate, the youth unemployment rate relative to the U3 headline unemployment rate. There's so many signals in the labor market that says there's something wrong about this business cycle, not the least of which is the low hire, low fire nature of the labor business cycle, as well as the structural uptrend and the percent of unemployed, the long-term percent of unemployed, in terms of folks who've been unemployed for over 26 weeks or more. I think it's at 25% now versus a long run mean of about 16%. So there's so many signs that there's something wrong in the labor market that we can't quite put our finger on. I think the Fed policymakers would suggest that there's other factors driving those dynamics, but in our view, there's this very big thing that the Fed has largely been missing. And so to land this plane, going back to that one phenomenal conversation yesterday, if even if it's too early to tell, we know that the labor market is dramatically underperforming the economy and dramatically underperforming leading indicators of employment growth. And so it behooves the Fed to take its policy out of this restrictive setting and at least get to neutral as quickly as possible. Now, we can debate where neutral is. Our view is that, we saw it with the market's expectation of neutral as opposed to some cockamamie model, especially in the middle of a fork turning or, the breakdown of the global world order, according to Ray Dalio's framework. I mean, there's so much stuff changing right now. I don't know how you can credibly say your model for R star neutral is accurate at this particular juncture. It's very clearly not. You couldn't manage risk on the buy side with those kinds of models right now. We'll leave it at that. But the key takeaway is that the Fed's still restrictive, and they are contributing to the risk of a jobless recovery by maintaining this restrictive policy setting. So we'll wrap it up there in terms of the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets. So continue reviewing to learn whether our institutional grade risk management overlays, KISS and Dr. Mo, are evolving their signals in response to these or anticipated fundamental dynamics. All right, transitioning to our 42 macro dashboard. As always, we'll wrap up the question from our community. But before we do that, I did have one final thought on this Fed restrictive policy setting. And going back to the commentary Steve Moran made, which I wholeheartedly agree with, which we've been arguing since, I think I published three op-eds on the Fed's tardy reaction function to the squishy labor market since last summer. The key takeaway is that, even if we don't know, that the outcome is in terms of AI's ultimate impact on the labor market, obviously the distribution of probable outcomes is still very wide at the current juncture. What the Fed can do to support the labor market at a time of transition and a time of great uncertainty is lower its policy rate and at the bare minimum, bring the policy rate back to a neutral setting so it's no longer applying downward pressure on the labor market, at least according to the market's pricing of neutral. So getting back into our community here, wrapping up with a question. This one's titled Poland and Gold. It says, hi, Skipper. Any thoughts on the potential unwind of Poland's gold reserve? Do you see this as central banks changing their approach or just cashing out some of their reserves to address fiscal necessities? like I alluded to earlier, we're still in the middle of a fourth turning. We have not seen the fourth turning climax. We're still in the breakdown of the world order, according to Ray Dalio's five big forces framework. I think you got to be short any economy and society whose central bank is selling gold right now. I mean, seriously, that just demonstrates an incredible lack of foresight. Again, I'm going to pick on Poland, but If you have a central bank out there selling gold right now, I'll tell you right now that they're making a very, very bad choice in the context of what could be a meaningful breakdown in the geopolitical world order. Obviously, the geopolitical driven supply demand imbalance in the Treasury securities market, which we identified back in the summer of 2023, which remains our core research view. And it's one of the reasons why we've been able to accurately forecast so many economic dynamics, both domestically and abroad. Until those things are over, until the fourth turning is over, until the, you know, the defraying of the geopolitical world order is over, and we have a new resolution and a new condition, a new steady equilibrium, which we're very clearly not at yet, I don't know how you can be selling gold, particularly as a central bank. So I'd be short Poland and short the Polish economy and society if their central bank is making decisions like this. So I highly doubt they're going to continue selling gold. But if they do, put them on your short list and leave them there. So we'll wrap it up there. Darius Dell here, presenting our macro minute for Thursday, March 5th, 2026. Tomorrow we have the jobs report. Traditionally, we do our macro scouting report on Friday, the jobs report Friday, but we got some scheduling conflicts. So we'll do our macro scouting report, our monthly macro scouting report next Friday. So we'll catch you back here tomorrow. Anyway, so everyone have a wonderful day. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice, and 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.